How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. We are going to have such a fun conversation today. I was wondering if you could start by telling me, how did you find Organize 365?
Okay, I have to be honest, I don't really remember. I just know that your emails have been coming to my inbox for a few years. And I think it's been at least a couple of years ago that I finally started listening to the podcast. And so I've been listening ever since.
All right, and tell us about the people who live in your home. Tell us about your family.
Okay, I have my husband, Stephen. He's a CPA. He's a partner in an accounting firm locally. I have my daughter is a sophomore in, she's not a sophomore. She's a senior in high school. I only wish it's my son. He's a sophomore in college. So my daughter, Elizabeth, is 17. She's a senior. And my son, Harrison, is 20, and he's a sophomore in college.
So very similar. I mean, very similar demographic to my family.
Yes, yes.
And you, have you been home with the kids as you have raised them?
Yes, yes. I worked for about 5 years. And then when I became pregnant with my son, as soon as I had him, I said, goodbye, I'm retiring. And I've been home for 20 years. So, yeah.
Okay. And another similarity that we have is you have a blog and a podcast as well. Do you want to share about that?
Yes, I have a blog at theplanningwoman.com, and I have a podcast called Live It Out with the Planning Woman, and I'm all about everything planning, planners, you know, all kinds of things. I've always had a planner all my life, wanted to make a schedule, you know, in school, had the little assignment notebook. Even when I was in elementary school, I remember thinking, oh, I'm getting homework and I can write it down, and I'd be disappointed when we didn't have homework to write down. So it's kind of in my blood to have planners. So I talk about a lot of things related to planning, time management, expanding a little into organizing and just dealing with your stuff, you know, because as you mentioned before, if we can get everything organized and decluttered, we have more time. So it really, that's been a big message for me through what you do that I would like to share with others, because it really is true about getting rid of all this stuff.
Yeah, so interesting, because I often say that the planning and the productivity comes from living an organized life. And here you clearly, for the last 10 years, have been blogging and the last year have been podcasting about planning and love planning. And then you decided to get organized. So tell us, how did you decide to get organized? What wasn't organized? You know, because I feel like you're in the productivity space with me, like you must already be organized.
Well, I have the organizing, I guess the organizing gene in my body, but we talked a while ago, I'm not good at follow through, but also in that accumulation phase of life, I accumulated a lot of things, whether it's craft supplies, oh my goodness, the kids' toys, you know, all of that. And so, you know, my son was a freshman this last year in college. So when he went away, we began thinking about, you know, looking ahead to the future and what that's going to look like, because next year it's hashtag emptiness 2020 for us. Yay. So, you know, just trying to get, you know, what is our home going to look like when my daughter goes to college next year? You know, what can we get rid of? Why do we still hang on to all of this stuff? And it's not even sentimental stuff. It's just stuff we've not dealt with before. So that's what got me started.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, I talk about in the Mindset of Organization book that there are four phases of a woman's life. And as you leave childhood and go into your own dwelling in your 20s, that is a transitional time. And now as your children leave and are launched, that's another transitional time. And the organization that you're going to need in your house 18 months from now is radically different than what you needed 18 months ago. And wouldn't you agree, like, I'm like all about this empty nesting thing. I'm loving it. Like moving my daughter to the basement because she's a senior to the basement, best thing ever. I already feel like I can empty nest even though she's still here. I am loving it. Like we just got our new bedroom furniture this weekend. And I said to Greg, I was like, look, it matches and it's not broken and we're not going to ruin it. And like, I love making my bed now and I didn't used to make my bed and I have so much less stuff in my bedroom, but it's all exactly the stuff that I want. And I'm not worried that like some kid's going to come in with a juice box or whatever and ruin my stuff. Like I feel like I can finally get things the way I want them.
Yes, we just went through that in our family room. We had the same furniture, we figured out it for 14 years. Yep. And it was darker colored furniture, you know, and all that. Well, we have lightened up. It's like a kind of a linen oatmeal color. Oh. We just feel like it's like, oh, yeah, there is no more sippy cups laying around or juice to be spilled. We can have nice things now, so.
Yeah. And I remember my parents like freaking out every time we came home. I was like, what is the big deal with this? Especially once we have the kids. And I'm like, oh, I get it now. Like they finally got the house the way they wanted it. And what I love about graduation parties is they're like mini weddings. And so you could say, oh, we have to fix this up or do this, that, or the other thing because of the graduation. And really what you're doing is you're reverse nesting. Like when you have the baby, you set everything up for the baby. When you have the graduation party, you set everything up for yourself. And it is wonderful. So I am totally right there with you. So you decided that you're like in this transition and you wanted to get organized. What time of year was it when you decided to jump in and what did you do first?
I started with the 100-day program in January of this year and started in the kitchen. So that's really, I mean, we spend so much time in there and, you know, you end up accumulating a lot of things you don't use all the time in there. So that was a good place to start for us because it made the biggest difference in our family. You know, it's easier to find things. When I opened the cooking utensil drawer where all the, you know, not just this, the spoons and spatulas and all, but all the little cooking tools, it was a jumbled mess before. And now it's all pared down to what we actually use. And it has stayed that way for now 9 months. So it has been great.
That is so awesome. Like Abby has started recently doing the dishes and emptying the dishwasher for me, which is fabulous. I'm not complaining. But then you open up that utensil drawer and I'm like, what, where did this come from? Like they don't necessarily understand how to put them away exactly how we have them, but it is so nice to open up and have everything organized. I also know when we're missing things. Like if I open it up, I could tell when something's missing. Before I would have had no clue because I had no idea what was in that drawer.
Yeah, so it's the same way here.
Yeah. Along the way, did you experience any unexpected events in the last 9 months as you've been organizing?
Yes. About 2 weeks into the program, my father, who was 83, he fell in his home and hit his head, had a couple of brain surgeries. It was about 11 days in ICU, and then he passed away. And while that is sad and, you know, obviously upsetting to our life, it wasn't totally unexpected. He'd had many previous falls. We were trying to prevent that, but it just didn't happen, you know. But that definitely, you know, the couple of weeks I had beforehand really kind of helped out because I was gone for 11 days. You know, I was at the hospital most of every day for those 11 days. And then all of the things that happened after that, you know, with the funeral and family coming in, all the arrangements and taking care of my mother. Yeah, that kind of set me back just a little bit.
I am so sorry. How's your mom doing?
She's doing fine. She is. Mm-hmm. She's. We have spent the last few weeks. My father was a railroad man, a researcher, a writer. His office was packed with papers. And we were very, very blessed to have an historian come and go through his papers and take them for us to archive them because we didn't know what to do with them. And so it was amazing, you know, that we had that resource because we were like, we would probably just throw them away because we didn't know. We knew they'd be of value to someone, but we didn't know how to do that. And this man reached out to us after he passed away because he knew him and offered to come down from, I believe, Wisconsin to Arkansas with a minivan and loaded it up of papers to go archive and put where people could use for research.
Yeah. So, wow. So what do you mean he was a railroad man? Like he built railroads, designed railroads?
He was president of several short line railroads for the Georgia Pacific Corporation. But he also, he started in the railroad industry when he was 16 years old. That's the only industry he ever worked in. He went to school, got an accounting degree, but he was pretty much a manager for most of his life. But he loved to write about it. He wrote articles in train magazines. He loved to go look at trains, take pictures, all the things related to trains. He had a model railroad set that thankfully he had started to dispose of, you know, sell off and things like that. We didn't have to worry about that. But yeah, all the papers, it was the biggest mess, but it's so much more manageable now. We're down to just the personal papers of tax returns, mm-hmm. you know, things like that, that we need to figure out what my mother needs to keep.
That I would never even imagine a historian reaching out to someone to take the papers. That's like, I've never heard of this before in my life.
Yes.
And to drive like half a country away.
I know. Well, my father wrote a book that was released. It's probably been about 2 years now. And he was really wanting the research on that book. But when we told him what else we had, he was very interested in preserving all of that. And he was more than willing to come down and had funds to come down and we didn't have to pay him. And it was great.
Well, anyone who's listening it's probably got to be weird when you reach out to a family after they've lost a family member, but obviously it was a blessing, huge blessing for you.
It was. And it wasn't a stranger. I mean, he and my dad were friends, you know, mm-hmm. they had communicated a lot and done things together. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like an out of the blue.
Yeah.
Who is this person? You know, that kind of thing. So it just really worked out very well.
Yeah, we are, I'm from the Akron, Cleveland area, and Akron is the rubber capital of the world where Firestone and Goodyear was started. And so we are traveling home again to go to the Cyberling Mansion, and F.A. Cyberling and his brother started Goodyear. And it's like this mansion that he built in the early 1900s. It's really cool. And as I was doing some more research, I've been there so many times, I found that his younger brother, who was the partner, also has a really nice house in Akron that is privately owned. And they say that you drive by this house all the time and you don't realize that was the other Cyberling's house. And then also in researching, I realized in Indiana, there's an older Cyberling, like a generation older, and he also built a mansion there that's called the other Cyberling Mansion. And it got me to thinking that this is the origin of the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, the person that founded that. But today, most founders of companies don't build gigantic houses or museums or things like that. So what does happen to that story of how that company was started or the intellectual property or, like you're saying, all this research in the railroad industry? I mean, I know a lot of stuff is available online. Mm-hmm. But you know me, I like paper. And I like real photos, and I like the tangible of that. And so if you or your parents are really avidly into something, you know, this may be a prompting to have a discussion about that at Thanksgiving or over the winter holidays and think about who are they in communication with this hobby that they have this expert knowledge so that it could be donated to the correct place. I worked with a retired House of Representatives and Congressman in the state of Ohio, and his widow didn't know what to do with all the artifacts she had from Miami University and from the House and the Senate, you know, where to donate those things. She just didn't know where to donate them or who might want them. So it's a great conversation to have. And if anybody else can share with us or share in the Organize 365 Facebook group resources for that, I think that people are wanting again to have those kinds of physical museums, physical artifacts to look at. It's not just about getting the information online, but actually being able to see those old plots and documents and where the research comes from. What an interesting discussion. I'm so sorry that you lost your father this year.
Yeah, well, thank you. He did prepare us well. I mean, there was one whole filing cabinet and several sets of binders he had designated to go to a specific place. So we knew that much was going to someone, but he still had a ton of other research. So yeah, so this was very helpful. And it, I agree, I think having that conversation with your parents or even your spouse, you know, if you're into that kind of thing, I mean, something like that would be wonderful to have so you know what to do when the time comes.
Well, did you have any other unexpected things happen in the last 9 months, or was everything else smooth sailing?
No. Well, we planned, it's not necessarily unexpected, I guess, how it all turned out was, but we had planned to have our house painted on, like, the whole inside minus a couple of rooms. You know, we were ready to get it all updated, but it took 2.5 weeks. 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
They were very good and very thorough, but it was 2.5 weeks. And we'd started out with a plan of, okay, they're going to work in this room, so we will dismantle this room. Well, they would do that, but then they'd want to go somewhere else that I had not already prepared. And so as much as I tried to keep everything as neat and organized as I could during that time, the whole house just blew up pretty much because they were in all different places than I expected them to be at one time.
Yeah. And you lost a couple of days before they came, and you probably lost a couple of weeks after they came to rehang everything and move everything back. And we only got one room painted, which was my bedroom. And let me just tell you, after having painted this house by myself for 22 years, I will continue to hire painter. Wow. They're like so much better than me. But now I don't want to hang anything on the wall because the wall is so perfect. I don't even know how they got it that perfect. I'm like, it's beautiful. I just want to look at painted walls. So it's not like you can hurry up and hang everything back up again, especially if you are changing colors of the walls and kind of changing other things. It just takes a while, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I have several little redecorating projects on my list, and I thought I would be done with them by now, but I'm not. And part of it is either I can't make a decision on something, or I just haven't had the time to really research what I want to do there. So, yeah, it's taking a lot longer than I had anticipated to get it. I mean, it's back in order, but how I want to redo things is just taking a lot longer.
And I think that, again, is indicative of this going into that empty nesting cycle, because I noticed myself when I was doing our master bedroom, I was going to settle for a lesser quality bed. I was trying to paint the room myself. Greg was like, hire a painter. So I hired the painter. We decided to buy the Amish gorgeous bed. And as I was doing that, I thought, you know, Lisa, you have redecorated the kids' rooms 5 times in 15 years. You have redecorated your bedroom once in 22 years. So it's okay to buy a little bit nicer quality, to get a professional to help you, because you're probably never going to redo this room again. And I was able to slow down. And in the past, I would have just grabbed some stuff and put it on the wall. And I literally haven't hung anything on the wall yet because I haven't found what I wanted. And I've just decided I'm taking that pressure off of myself. If it takes me 18 months to find what I want, it doesn't matter. It's going to stay up there for another 30 or 40 years. So I could take the time to do it slowly. And I'm also enjoying it a lot more. Like, I'm enjoying taking the time to look for the perfect piece versus, you know, the season I just left of accumulation and struggle is, you know, hurry up and get it done because there's something else or something else or something else. Well, I mean, there's not really something else. As soon as I finish this, I'm going to start working on the living room, and the money only goes so far, so I may as well enjoy each piece that I buy and each piece as we add.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how I grew up. My mom was always, let's make do with what we have. Not because we didn't have the money. It was easier just to pick this one thing versus researching and finding the perfect thing. And I'm trying to get out of that mindset of, I want it like I want it with what I want. And even if I have to save up and it takes time to get that, then that's what I want to do.
Yeah. I think it's a process of slowing down. Like, we're not old, but we're slowing down in our accumulating and in our decision-making process. Like, as I'm buying the nicer things, it takes a lot longer to save up for an Amish bed than it did the one that I can get at Walmart. You know what I mean? Like, it's a totally different. So you have to slow down, because if you keep at that accumulation pace, you'll just be in so much debt by the time you're done. So it's a slowing down with the decisions. It's a slowing down of the amount of things you're bringing in. It's a slowing down with the spending. And sometimes for me, that has been not awkward, but uncomfortable. Because I want to go get something. I want to go shopping. I want to finish the project. And that's not how it's happening anymore. So I just keep buying books and saying, well, go read a book, Lisa, which is not, it's a lot less expensive and it fills my timer. I've done a ridiculous amount of puzzles. But you do, as you start to make your decisions differently and spend your time differently, you get in that awkward place where you would have gone and bought something and you don't want to go and buy something anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even, I mean, I like to shop, but knowing I'm not going to probably find what I want just going to the mall or going to even one furniture store, I don't even do it. I'm at the point of, let me figure out what I want, and then I will go find it, you know, instead of just looking to see what's out there just to be shopping.
Yeah. And have you start, like, I had my friend Carol come over. She's an interior decorator and she gave me a lot of ideas too and sent me to some different stores I would not have normally gone to. I just told her to pick out the paint color. Like, I didn't even go to the store. I'm like, just tell me what paint color. And that's the paint color we painted. And they're like, what does it have to match? I'm like, whatever paint color she said. Like, I'm starting to defer to experts as well and not just rely on what I saw in one magazine and try to replicate that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's try to get back on track. I'm the one that always takes us off track. But I think both those discussions have been really good. And I know a lot of people listening are in our same exact phase of life. And there's not a lot of podcasts or books or anything to research on this moving out of. It seems like you leave that survival and accumulation phase. It's so abrupt. And for me, it happened exactly when the kids both had their own cars. Like, the second that they can drive themselves somewhere, like, literally 20 to 25 hours a week opened up for me and I could breathe again. And then I was able to start processing. And I think up until that point, you're trying to get the kids in the right college and take the tests and drive them everywhere and do the sports. And it's like an exorbitant amount of time. And then abruptly that time leaves. And then shortly thereafter, if they go off to college or they leave, then all of that caretaking time leaves as well. And you have this huge amount of time that you need to be careful how you fill because you've wanted it for so long.
Yes. Yes. There are many ways to fill that, not effectively or efficiently. Yes.
We'll leave it at that. Okay. All right. So what do you have more of now? I know you've only been doing this for, you know, two rounds and you've lost your father and had all that painting along the way, but have you noticed a difference in that 9 months?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I do feel like I have a little more time. I know I'll have more as I finish going through the rest of the house. I did manage to get back on track some towards the end of the first round. So I've, you know, my master closet is pretty much done. My office is done. There's various rooms and things that are already done. So I'm not having to go back and deep dive into every single area. But once I can get through every part of the house, I know it's going to be a lot better. I was just thinking, when I pulled in the garage a while ago, we have a 3-car garage and we fit 3 cars in there. But we still have shelving that has stuff all on it that I'm like, you know, it's not necessarily cluttered, but I know it doesn't need to be there. And it's still, it kind of puts me in the mindset of my house is cluttered because my garage is cluttered. That's what I see. So I'm working on getting my husband to help me make decisions and get things out of there. So that kind of helps set the tone for the rest of our house, for us. Anyway, I mean, our guests don't see that at all, but for us who live there every day, just being able to pull in the garage and go, oh, I'm home, and there's nothing distracting you clutter-wise, that's what I'm aiming for.
Love it. What do you have less of now?
I have less stuff. I have less guilt because I'm not holding on to all of that stuff. Like I said, most of it wasn't sentimental. It was just things maybe I couldn't make a decision about at some other point that I'm willing to let go of now. So, yeah.
And what do you wish you had known sooner?
That I didn't have to hold on to all of that stuff and that money doesn't really buy you that much happiness. I mean, in accumulating things. I would just go to Target or Walmart and see something cute and go, oh, that would be great in our kitchen and, you know, all this. And then now I'm left with all this stuff that I either rarely used or never used. Yeah, I wish I'd been more intentional about what I purchased in that accumulation phase.
And what is your next step? I know you want to do your garage.
Yes, I'm working through round two for me. No, is it round two?
I think you're starting the third round now.
Third round, yes. Yeah. Oh my goodness, third round, time flies. Yes, to finish the third round, and then I just signed up to be Sunday Basket certified. So I'm hoping to help women locally and through maybe some virtual one-on-one things with people that read my blog or listen to the podcast. So I'm
excited.
And
you said you're in Arkansas?
Arkansas, yes.
Arkansas, yeah. We now have 80 Sunday Basket certified organizers. Ooh. So if you guys want to look up Jennifer or anyone else, just go to organize365.com and scroll to the bottom. And we have our certified organizer page. You can find someone that is local to you, hopefully. And Jennifer, what advice would you give to someone who is just starting out?
I would say follow Lisa's advice and do 15 minutes a day. Just do 15 minutes. It's amazing what you can get done. I like the whole idea of just working on one small area at a time so you don't mess up your entire house trying to get organized. But I'd also say if you're in that accumulation phase, just be choosy about what you purchase. You know, really think about it because... Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't get like me and have to go through all of this stuff when you're 48 and go, why?
Yeah, it's so funny. You know, I listen to people who are business owners and they give advice. They're like, don't hustle, don't grind. And I'm like, oh, come on. You've got to do that in order to get your business going. And I think the same thing is true with your house. Like when you are in that accumulation phase of your 20s and 30s, it is super hard not to accumulate things. One of the things that I would say that millennials are doing better or just differently is they are accumulating experiences more than they are things, but it'll cycle right back through again. So each generation has their pros and cons, and this generation happens not to accumulate as much stuff as we Gen Xers did or the baby boomers before us for sure. But I'm sure they'll have other things that they're dealing with when they are in their late 40s like we are. But I would say I resisted for so long creating an organizing program that could be done in 15 minutes a day because I, as a professional organizer, wanted you to take a couple hours and get the whole shebang done at once. But as soon as I was like, well, Lisa, they're saying they have 15 minutes a day, you have two choices. They cannot get organized, or you can change what you're saying and help them organize in 15 minutes a day. I think that really is a game changer because even when your house was being painted, you could still organize your silverware drawer. Uh-huh. Or you could have gone through the shoes in your closet, but you would not have wanted to empty out your entire master closet and go through it when there was chaos in the rest of your house. So the simplicity of just doing one drawer, one cabinet, your purse, one category of clothing, you know, one shelf in your basement storage area, you feel like you're not making very much progress, but it is that slow and steady that wins the race over time. And you look around, you go, oh my gosh, that room is done. That area is done. I just don't have stuff left over from that holiday because I went through all the bins when we were decorating. And you will win. It will just take a while, but it will become a habit. Anything else you wanted to share, Jennifer?
I would just encourage people, you know, because I know people listening to the podcast are not necessarily have not purchased any of your programs, the binders, the Sunday basket, or anything, to just try one thing, you know, figure out what it is you struggle with the most and just try one of those things, whether you need your paper organized or your home. Because like I, with my father and the historian that came, sometimes you have to reach out to someone who knows more about things than you do and get the help, even if it's an investment to do that, you know, just to make a difference in your life, in your own sanity.
Yes, yes. And yay for all the other people who are joining us in empty nesting. I know some of you may like, oh, I'm going to be an empty nester. I'm like so excited for my kids' future and mine as well. I'm just really excited about it. And it sounds like you are as well.
Yes.
Well, Jennifer, thank you again for being on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh. I could talk to you guys forever, and I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.